Romans chapter number 2, I want to read here, beginning in verse number 1. Romans chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. And notice what he says, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou, what? Condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. For we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deed, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You tonight that we have in our hands this Your precious Word. I pray that You might help us to learn and understand some very important truth tonight. Oh God, I pray that You might wipe the smugness away from our hearts. Lord, that You might create in us a humility, that we might recognize who indeed is truly great, that we might exalt You above all else. Oh God, tonight, work in us. Spirit of God, move amongst us. Do that work which You can do so wondrously well. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I have a long title for the message tonight. It was basically this: smugness defined in the Jew but lived by the Gentile Christian. Smugness defined in the Jew but lived by the Gentile Christian. Smugness is a term that adequately describes the malady of the Jew to whom this chapter, I believe, is directed, and also to the Christian who believes that he has arrived. Smug means simply to be contented with our own accomplishments, to believe that what we've done is just absolutely wonderful and that we are indeed God's gift to society. Oh, how we need to allow God to do some work in our lives. There's an air, there's a look that is often upon our faces that says, I am better than that. I am better than what I am looking at. In the book of Luke, chapter number 18, verse 11, it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice this prayer: God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men art. He said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like others, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. These are the kind that sat in church service after church service, never walked an aisle in months or years, never darkened the front of a church, but yet they speak with authority on the sins of others. It's amazing, they seem to know all the sins of others. Perhaps they've spent too much time in Facebook. I will end my comments right there. I want to go on, but I will stop them right there. Oftentimes, we're upon the road trampling often the hearts and the intentions of others, when we really do not realize that we are tamping down the road that we spoke of this morning, and we become hardened to the Word of God in our own hearts and our lives. personal spirit conviction has been replaced by the convincement in our soul of the sins of others. We have become professionals at finding what's wrong in the lives of others without very little of looking inwardly. Fixing people has become our occupation as opposed to allowing the Holy Spirit and His Word do the job that it hasn't been intended to do. This was a Jew that Paul addresses in chapter 2. In chapter 1, we find that Paul says that the world has gone into deep sin, and he describes that very vividly. But then to the Jew who believes he has arrived, the Apostle Paul says, "Thou art inexcusable. You have done the very same things. You look at others and you see this, but you have not noticed that you have done the very same things." I believe tonight that you and I, we need to stop and consider that there needs to be in our hearts and our lives a three-pronged stake that would grip us at all times. Number one, I believe one of those prongs is a judgment of self. We need to judge ourselves so others will not. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, "Judge not that ye be not judged." By the way, it does not say we should not judge other things, but God is saying to us that if we do, we're going to be judged. And if we would take the practice upon ourselves to look inwardly, to look in that mirror, and to see what is wrong with ourselves, it may not take place from the others. In verse 5 of the same chapter, he says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." We are so quick and so prone to see what is wrong with others. We make our little judgments. We see somebody do something and we have our little comments and we have our little judgments that we come up with, but we fail to see the things that are in our own lives. God says we ought to look inwardly. We ought to discover, are we a stumbling block to our brother? In the book of Romans later, we find in chapter 14 and verse 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." And you and I, with our over-piety, you and I, with our condemnation, our condescending ways, so often what do? We're turning off others. And we're not allowing the Spirit of God to do in their lives what needs to be done. I heard a preacher one time say, I should not say I heard, but I heard another say that they heard him. And somebody said to him, "Well, listen, that is the Spirit of God's job in this church." And he said, "I want you to know something. I am the Holy Spirit in this church." Dangerous ground, I believe, to walk upon. But oftentimes, that be our attitude, does it not? And you and I tonight need to be a people that very carefully that we judge ourselves. When it comes to others, I believe the second prong of that stake ought to be this, and that is, rather than judgment, edify. That word edify simply means to build up. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know, when you stand in the pulpit and you preach on sin, sometimes people believe, "Well, that's my opportunity. I can do the very same thing to an individual." Understand, there's a difference between standing in a pulpit and talking about it and you condemning an individual yourself. Our responsibility mainly with each other is to what? Build each other. If we're going to build each other, then there's a necessity in our lives. And that is, we need to find out what are the strengths of an individual, because we're not going to build from weaknesses. Okay, we make some judgments and we find out what are their strengths, and from thus we can begin to build in their lives. I have found that I can accomplish a whole lot more with compliments than criticisms. I have found that when we are in the business of seeking to build an individual and let them know, hey, we are for them, it does more than all the critical remarks that I can make. And I want to tell you something. I must confess, I am good at making critical remarks. If I got paid for it, I'd be very rich. And it concerns me deeply, all that we might edify. It's interesting, the verse to follow in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 is verse 30, and it says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." God wants you and I, rather than judging others, to judge ourselves, and when it comes to others, that we might learn to build them, to edify them, that we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're going to build in lives, we must build upon their strengths. We must find out what is it about that individual that they have that I can be of help to and a blessing that it might build that, it might encourage them. Listen, if you're walking in your Christian life, you have enough discouragement. How many have had discouragement this week? Can I see your hands? That's most everybody in here. The rest of you probably did. Maybe you're so discouraged right now you don't want to raise your hand. But we have discouragement. We don't need a brother or sister discouraging us more. And we need somebody to build us, somebody to say, hey, you can do it. Hey, I believe in you. I believe I've told this story, but it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I remember a young lady in our school, and she was having a particularly hard time with mathematics, and she came to me, and she was just all out of sorts, did not know what to do. And we just kind of run out of everything. And I looked at her and I said, hey, listen, you know what? I believe in you. I believe you can do this. She looked at me and she says, really? Really? I said, yeah, I believe you can. She had herself convinced she could not do it. And somebody saying, I believe you can, was an encouragement to her. And by the way, she did. And it wasn't by any expertise I gave to her because I didn't have it. But oh my goodness, the times I have been encouraged by others because they've sought to edify rather than to tear down. We need to judge ourselves and edify others. But I want to give you the third fork in this stake, this prong that I believe is great and helpful for you and I, that we might not have this smugness about it as we judge ourselves and we look at others and we begin to edify them. But there's a third thing that is, I believe, necessary that we leave out, especially in our Baptist circles, and it's simply to glorify God. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. As a result of that, he says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Either glorify Him. But what do we do normally? We come to church, we talk about people. And we talk about their faults because, listen, everybody knows they got faults. Doc, you have so many faults, it's pathetic. I mean, seriously, that's what we do, isn't it? And we talk about other folks, we talk about this, we talk about that, and my goodness, you know what? We are absolutely right. I can talk about Mary Ann's faults, and listen, I could name you a few of them, I would be exactly right on target, and you folks would sit here and say, boy, yeah, you are right. Isn't it amazing? But you know what the problem with that is, Mary? While I'm talking about yours, I'm never judging my own. I'm never figuring out what is wrong with here that the Spirit of God might deal with me. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. It's not my job to do that for you. That is His job to do. Now, my job as a preacher is to preach about things and let Him take care of it. It's up to God. But we so often, we get in our little Oh, I hate the word cliques. You know what cliques are? We stand around, we click. Click, 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 click. Click, click, click. What are we clicking about? The people in the other clique and how cliquish they are. And what do we fail to do? We fail to see ourselves. We fail to what? To edify them. And most of all, we fail to glorify God. We fail in that. I have longed. I'm not good at it. To sit down with people and just talk about God. Oh, we can sit down and we can talk about sports. Isn't it amazing how we can talk about football stars? We can talk about guys who lived 20 years ago. We know their personal records, but somehow we can't figure out what Zechariah chapter 1 is about. Zechariah chapter 1? There's a chapter in the Bible? It's called Zechariah? Really? Yeah, but we know that Brett Favre had a hangnail in 1968. And we know that it was on his pinky. And it affected his passing when he was, where was he then? High school? Who knows? Somebody here knows that. Isn't it amazing? Oh, just to talk about the Lord. To glorify Him, to lift His name. Huh? To exalt Him one with another. How glorious that might be. Do you know how the world's not getting saved? They're not hearing how great God is. They're not hearing it from us. Why? Because we're too busy talking about politics, too busy talking about sports, too busy talking about business, too busy talking about each other. But all if we started exalting Him. What did we look at this morning? The book of Isaiah, just briefly. What does it say there? In the days of Uzziah, what did he say? I saw the Lord high and lifted up. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he got a very good glimpse of himself. He said, I'm undone. What's going to bring people to their knees? We begin to look and see that we have some deep-seated needs. And we need God in our lives and our hearts. We need Him to direct us in all the avenues of our life instead of thinking that we've got it all put together. We'll begin to, what, build each other. And how do we build each other the greatest way? By talking about our Savior. What does that do to a lost and dying world as they hear about an exalted Savior? Somebody that means something in our lives. Sometimes people say, oh, I wish I could win people to Christ at my job. How about just tell them about how great Jesus is? No? Well, I can't do that at my job. We have an amendment to the Constitution. I think it's the first one. Well, I can't talk about God at my workplace. Really? Everybody else does. Don't they? Yeah. Yeah. I can talk about God. Well, it's not constitutional. Have you read the Declaration of Independence? It talks about God. We can exalt Him. We can say how good He is. By the way, make sure you're working while you're doing that. Amen. Don't be stopping your job to preach to somebody. Don't make them do your job while you're telling them. Amen. Yeah. But we can talk about Him. It'd be amazing what might happen in the workplace. Might be amazing in our neighborhoods. It might be amazing in our church. We begin to glorify Him. Not just when we sing a song. Not just when we are expected to. But all the time. To glorify Him. Amen? Oh God, help me to do that. Do you know it's going to snow next week? It is. Oh yeah, we're going to have the worst snow of the whole season. Todd, you're going to have to work overtime. It's coming bad. El Niño is on us. It's going to rain horrible in Wyoming this year, in Montana. It's going to fill up the reservoirs again. We're going to get flooded again. That's what we talk about. What about the God who brings the rain? The God who brings the snow? The God who gives us that snow? And it tells us in the book of Isaiah, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as well. That's the need of our hour. What do we need? We need to judge ourselves. Oh, we got this smugness. Yeah. I have arrived. I'm glad I'm not like you folks. Glad I'm not like that woman over there. Oh, my goodness. Y'all know Rose. I'm not kidding. Right. Hangs around bus kids. Not me. I'm spiritual. Little smelly kids. They stink up the place. That's what we get, isn't it? By the way, I've actually heard Christians say that. They'll mess up our building. And we aren't. And we aren't. We've not made good self-judgment. There's a way we got to start. And then we need to work on what? Building in the lives of others. Building in their lives. What's that mean? That means we got to look at and see what is right with their lives. Crystal, I know what's wrong in your life. But I also know what's right in your life. I would do a whole lot more seeking to build what's right in your life. Because if you get so busy doing that, guess what you will quit doing? My mother told me that a busy boy is not getting in trouble. And so if we edify each other and then begin to glorify God. Very simple tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray You will just work these things in our hearts. So often we're so smug. Oh God, forgive us. We come to church thinking we are often better than others about us. Lord, we've done some particular thing and we believe that we are more spiritual. We read more Bible this week than somebody else, so we're walking closer to You. Or we've prayed more, so we believe we're better. Oh God, forgive us for that kind of smugness. Oh Lord, tonight help us to make the judgments upon ourselves rather than others. Lord, we know that there are some things that are necessary, but not for the purpose of tearing down, but for the purpose of building up. And Lord, that we might bring glory to You. Oh God, teach us how to glorify Your name. Teach us how to do it one with another. Lord, we know how to talk about everything else. Not so much about You. God, change that in our lives. Work and bless tonight, I pray. May You have Your way and will in our hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As many begins to play tonight, if you'd stand, please. If God has touched your heart.